Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Maniacal Music Musings. We are your musers here scoring the end of the world, as always. I'm your host, Jeremy, a G-werewolf running this year's slaughterhouse, and let me tell you, I smell a massacre coming down in this red, white, and boom country we live in. Get your guns. But you might ask, who's going to lead this massacre? Well, I'll tell you. He smells of gasoline and death, and also shows no signs of life. He's the king of the meltdown and a grim sleeper who says, just give me reason. He's in denial about his axe wound, but the mirror never lies. You may be an ordinary cosmic nobody, but we love you, Chancey motherfucking Greif.
Hi.
That was cool.
Well, folks, for a metal show like we're going to have today, I had to do a fucking metal-ass intro there. Kevin Smith would be proud, but... Yeah, see, Chancey's crying because I said I love him. Jesus. But.
Nah, I just woke up.
Call me not surprised. And, folks, of course, you may be asking, why are your musers back on another Saturday for a special edition? Well, another guest who couldn't make the late Tuesday nights work. So, and that guest is Lucas Phillip, one half of Philouette, if I said that right. I hope I did. But what's going on, Luke? How you doing today?
I'm awesome. Thank you. That was an awesome introduction. That was awesome.
I actually contemplated on that one for a long time today. It was a labor of love. But so, folks, Luke is here as one half. The other half is hopefully going to be on next Saturday. So we're getting the full band here over 2 weeks. And, well, I mean, for you Spotify listeners, you'll be getting them over a week, too, because I'm going to make sure these release after each other. But... tell us about your band, though, Luke. What made you guys want to start a band?
So the story is we've been friends since, like, we were 8 and 9, maybe. And so what happened is he came over to my house one day when I wasn't home just looking for friends. He's like, hey, my mom answers. He's like, hey, do you have any kids that would hang out with me? And I'd be like, and my mom was like, well, he's at his dad's right now, but next time he's over here, we'll go over to your house and meet him. And yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And we just kind of just been friends ever since. And so the story is, we tried to make a band a long time ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. And, like, we tried to just get, like, guitarist, bassist, whatnot, but no one was really digging the sound we were going for. And it's just been, like, continuous, like, failures of trying to get band members. So we just eventually were like, hey, we could just be a duo, you know? Because if no one's going to dig the sound except us, it might as well be just us.
Simon and Garfunkel, exactly.
Yep, pretty much.
So... and actually, I did check out some of your band stuff. I mean, when you said multi-genre, you ain't fucking kidding. Like, oh my god! Yeah. Like, I'm listening to like an electrical song, and the next thing is like a freaking screamo song. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Is this the same band?
Yeah, because we have stuff like Electric Lover, which is like, so that song is 7 minutes long, and
I heard that song.
Yeah, we actually weren't intending to make it 7 minutes long. We just kept adding more and more stuff. And that's one of my favorite songs we've ever made. It's really cool. It's a very fun song. Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite songs we've made.
I forget what the other one I listened to was, but I like that. That one was actually really cool. But I forget what it was called.
Was it Water's Edge?
Maybe that sounds right familiar. But
yeah, well, we just dropped a new single that. So what we're doing right now is our current album that's out called No Trespassing. It's currently got kind of a subpar mixing job, so we're trying to remaster it, kind of do some redoing some new vocals for it, and we're hoping to get that out in the next few months.
Nice. Well, as a musician, I love when musicians pick albums for our show because there's always a good meaning behind it. So. Yeah. What album did you want to bring us today? And please tell me why you wanted to bring it.
So I picked the album Life is But a Dream by Avenged Sevenfold.
Just don't talk.
I got a little bit tired of it because I loved it so much a few months ago, but I got into it last summer, and I just me and my dad, we went to a music store during the summer before we went on a road trip, and I picked out this album, and because I had only heard a few different songs by Avenged Sevenfold, Critical Acclaim, Nightmare, Hail to the King, Shepherd of Fire, all the like the famous ones. And the only thing I really knew about this album is I heard that it was really obscure and whatnot. And then when we listened to the album, I'm like, yep, that's about right. Because it is a super obscure album, but I really love it. It's an amazing album, and that's why I chose to bring it.
Well, I'm going to let Chanty tell you what he thinks of your album first before I go.
Okay.
Well, I think he's kind of setting you up. So, I'm just gonna do it like this. As it stands, I'm not a fan of Avenged Sevenfold, the band. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a very clear and defined reason. It's not like this guy's a fuck or that guy's a this or da 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 da. So the first exposure I ever had to the band was when because back on MTV, they had a show called Making the Video, and it was those guys when they did Backcountry.
Yep.
And I'm a super huge fucking Hunter S. Thompson fan. And when I saw the video, cause they play the video at the end of the show, and it's fucking I'm listening to this fucking song, right? And it's dude, if Hunter S. Thompson was alive right now, he would carpet bomb the entire earth and fucking napalm. what the fuck is this? And then there are distinct differences between what kind of turned me off on that song and then this album in particular. Cause on that specific song, he has a very, very, very nasally bass noise of sound coming from for his vocals, but on this album it's definitely not the case. It's almost went out, took a couple lessons, came back, did a couple things. So I listened to your album first and I was like, okay, well, it's Avenged Sevenfold, I'm gonna do it. And then I was listening to it, and it's this isn't like all the other ones that I've heard. It's not terrible. It's not terrible at all. But I did get five, and I actually, for me, what it is, the things that I like the most about the band are all the other band members, the guitar player, the drummer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But normally, yeah, when it comes to something like that, if a vocalist has some kind of sound, a tonal issue, a lot of times that'll just shove me right out the door. I'll be 100% locked into and loving in a song, and then something will happen in the song, and I'm just I gotta go.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think I've definitely experienced the same thing there.
Right. Yeah. Like that song, The Winds of Change, from way back in the day. It's a great song. He gets to the chorus and he hits that high note right there at the beginning of the chorus, and it's all fucking nose. And it's like, yep, nope, fucking fuck this shit, I'm out. I fuck it, pack my shit, I'm gone.
Yet you love that freaking song, I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
Dude, that guy has a fucking outstanding voice, dude. Hawkins is, what is it? I don't remember what his name is. His last name's Hawkins.
But
he has a great fucking voice, like, all the way around. It's not a situation where it's like you have all this talent and you can sing real well. Case in point with the fucking Winds of Change song. He gets to that fucking chorus and he goes, "Take me." Like, no, fuck you. You're not going to sing a song with really good fucking tone and really good fucking sound. And you're going to get to like the important part, the chorus for most songs. That's the important part. You're not going to fucking build this fucking bridge to kick ass and then all of a sudden just be like, you know what? Let's have a duet or let's just do a fucking flash dance in the middle of this unfinished bridge and fall into the fucking canyon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the king of the meltdown.
Hi.
But no,
I didn't hate it. So hey, kudos on you. You brought an Avenged Sevenfold album that I actually like, you know, absorbed and actually took a listening to.
What's the one that Sean brought? Was it Nightmares or something like that? I think Nightmares was on it, but I don't remember the name of the album.
I'm pretty sure it was Nightmare. I know it was Nightmare. The last one.
I think I like Nightmare, but the only problem is the first, like, so, like, the first few songs are good, and then it gets into the, like, 7+ minute long songs, and you're kind of just, like, you're, like, dragging. Like, Victim is kind of bad. And then, but the last song, I think, Save Me, that one's good because it's actually kind of upbeat and whatnot, despite being 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead, Jensen. No.
I was going to say, if it's the album that we're talking about or that we're thinking about, their drummer died.
Yeah, that's actually the Rev, which
the Rev.
Because I think he died.
Yeah,
like,
so I think it was the one before. Yeah, that's the album then. Yep, that's the album then.
Yeah, and then Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater filled in with him.
Mike Portnoy.
He did pretty awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dream Theater is fucking amazing, so yeah. But
I love Dream Theater.
See, when it comes to Avenged Sevenfold, and I'm pretty sure I said this the last time it was brought in the show as well, I was a fan of Avenged Sevenfold back when City of Evil came out. I fucking loved that CD. Like, that was my junior year of high school, I think, when that came out. So, that was a good CD. I mean, the fuck's the name of the song I love? I can't think of. I haven't listened to that CD in so long, because the voice does get a little irritating. Chansey's not wrong. But,
City of Evil's great.
I forget the name. Chained, something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
I forget the name of the fucking song. God damn it, it's going to piss me off now, but I can look
there's so many fucking songs on that album.
Jeremy's favorite song on the album is called fucking Senile and Feeble, more like it.
Yeah.
Bound in Chains, maybe, or Bind It?
Bound in Chains would be right up your alley.
Well, I mean, I'm all in for a kinky time there, buddy, but and Chansey, just so you know, Backcountry is still their fifth most popular song on Spotify.
Well, I mean, that's great, grand, and wonderful, but it still doesn't change the fact that, like, I was so young. Like, I don't even remember how old I was at the time. And I was excited to check it out, you know? Like, oh, shit, I haven't heard this band before. Fucking, they look pretty cool. They got a pretty good sound. Because they'd play clips of some fucking shit from other albums and stuff, you know? So you're like, oh, okay, yeah, fucking, I'm down with this. And then all of a sudden, fucking, he starts the entire "Caught in Fire, Please." I'm like,
yeah, it's Blind in Chains. That's a song I freaking loved. And I mean, Beast in the Harlot was awesome, and so was Trash and Scattered. I mean, those three songs on City Evil were fucking incredible. This album, I'm not gonna lie, I fucking hated it in the beginning. Like the first couple songs, I'm just like, somebody fucking shoot me. But by the time it got to the middle of the album, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm just sitting driving listening and I'm like, this is boring. I'm like, no, what's this? This is a little more theatric. This is a little more storyline driven. I like this. Like, and this is sacrilegious as shit. I fucking love this. So, I mean, once they got to the middle of the CD, I kind of like started to change my view of it. I mean, the first half of the CD is god awful dreadful. I think I was able to get 5 and a couple honorable mentions as well, but most of them are from the latter half of the CD. The beginning of the CD, I think I got a couple just because the guitar, usually the guitar in those songs is the only reason I like those songs at all, because the guitar made them dealable, but just the lyrics were so fucking, and the singing was so fucking boring. I was just like, god damn, this put me asleep while I'm driving. But
I thought it was an interesting, I thought it was an interesting attempt at experimentation, really. Like, it wasn't what you would normally expect from those guys. And that's kind of what took me back by it. I was like, oh, okay, let's fucking, let's check it out. Let's give it a shot.
Well, that's the thing, though. Because, I mean, I haven't heard anything they've done except for Nightmare in the last 10 years, 15 years. So, I mean, City of Evil was almost 20 years ago now. So it's, they've been around for a while, and like I never listened to them through like enough through the years to actually hear like their progress as they went forward and forward. It's just every time I listen to them, it sounds like a different band. And it's just like, this is strange. This is the Vince, like, I said the same thing about Nightmare. I'm like, this is the Vince Sevenfold. I'm like, this is not the Vince Sevenfold I listened to in high school. But so I mean, I don't know. It's just, like I said though, the second half of the CD was fucking solid, and I enjoyed the fuck out of it. So definitely good choice. Definitely a good choice. I mean, it had to be wrong at some point. But
for sure.
Don't shake your head at me, motherfucker. But what were your top five songs on your CD there? Kind of see the comparisons to this.
So I would say my top five. So I have honorable mentions too.
So fuck yeah.
Nobody, or so Game Over would be my honorable mention. And We Love You says Game Over. It was going to be, I was debating whether or not Game Over was number five or an honorable mention, but I decided to go with the honorable mention. Cause Game Over, I find it to be a really interesting song, cause it starts out with that acoustic intro and then like proceeds to go like full, like thrash with like weird talk singing. It's kind of the thing I don't like about that song is the weird way he's like talking almost in some of the songs, but I do like the way they kind of shift into this more symphonic part towards that middle. And that's what I really like about that song the most. And then We Love You, which is just the most insane song. Like, it's crazy with, like, that more power, more taste, like that. That's crazy. And then it goes, like, full, like, thrash metal. And then it goes, like, it goes to all this number stuff. It's super crazy, rambunctious song. I really like that one. And then, so number five was the single they dropped that, like, confused the hell out of everybody, was Nobody. And it's really weird at first listen with the way Matt sings, but especially the solo at the end, that solo is insane. So and that's number five, Nobody. Number four would be Mattel, which is pretty much the most literal actual Avenged Sevenfold song on the record, because it actually has like some decent guitar work that sounds like a Nightmare or something like that. Number three, Beautiful Morning. I really like this song because it's got some interesting it's got cool guitar work, and then that whole slow section, which is like, it's like kind of like that long kind of almost bridge part, and then it goes back into like that insane solo. I love that song. Number two with Cosmic, which is probably one of the coolest songs I've heard in a long time, because it's got, you know, it starts out with that crazy Sinister Gates, like, flourishes and solos and whatnot, and then it goes into that whole real melancholic, or not melancholic, like, just really uplifting, like, piano part, and then it goes into, like, a real, like, heavenly, that's so, like, for lack of a better term, like, a heavenly sound.
Melodic.
Yeah, melodic. And then number one, it's hard to choose because I love, I'm kind of going to do four. They're supposed to go all together. They're almost like one song. But I chose G, Ordinary Death, and Life is But a Dream.
Nice.
They're almost like one big song. Because the God, G-O-D, G Ordinary Death the trilogy. I really like the storyline. And so it's God. So I'll break down each track. So G, which is more of like really almost progressive metal, and I really like that song. I'm trying to remember what else about it.
I mean, the fucking lyrics in G are fucking incredible.
Yeah, they are really cool. I like it.
I am the man. 6 days of bullshit. A wave of the hand. Like, that's metal as shit. To like personify cool, God. Man. God is like thinking like that.
Like, yeah, I do like the lyrics and how it's like kind of like from a deity's point of view.
That's, I mean, really cool. put your hands together, get down your knees is something so like that Zeus would say. So
that is super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ordinary, it's so something he would say.
Yeah, for sure. Ordinary, so G, and then Ordinary, which is really cool. It's not at all any Avenged Sevenfold. It's almost like Daft Punk almost, but I like that. It's really cool, and I like how it kind of blends together in each of the songs. And then Death, I really like that song because it's just so beautiful, and it's almost like sad, like almost like depressing, the lyrics, because he's like, If nothing matters, and if life is all but a dream, I could just kill myself right now and nothing will happen, which is pretty dark. And then the last song, Life is But a Dream, which is a really cool, I'm like a metal guy, but that the way that song is just piano, and I still would put that number one, is pretty baffling even to me. So yeah, there's my top five.
Baffling indeed, because I didn't like the last song at all. I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Like, yeah, I just found it a really beautiful piece, and like the way it kind of ties the whole album together really made me really like it.
Don't mind him, Lucas. He has no taste, dude. It's all good.
Chancey, I swear to God.
What? I'll preach the truth from the mountaintop, dude. Fucking poor kids over here just, you know, trying to get through the damn thing. I got you, man. We'll get through this together.
I'll ramshamble your ass right now. I'm gonna kick you in the nuts. But Chancey, what were your top five for Avenged Sevenfold?
Fucking coolest part about it is that fucking Lucas actually named off four five.
Nice. He matched most of mine too. That's the funny part. But
so like for me, fucking. My honorable mention was Beautiful Morning. I thought that was kind of cool. Number five was Nobody. That fucking guitar solo fucking kicked all of the ass. Number four was Game Over. And then fucking number three was G. Number two was Mattel. And fucking number one was Life is But a Dream. Initially, I would have said it's because of the fact that it's an instrumental and it saved me from having to listen to that guy's fucking singing. But when you said it was also your number one, I was like, all right, that's fucking cool. I'm not going to give him shit about it. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I had two honorable mentions as well for this album. And funny enough, my first honorable mention was Mattel, because I like when that song first came on, I saw the title. I'm like, are they singing about G.I. Joe? like what the fuck? Like, I'm like, it'd be cool if they did, but, and I mean, it almost sound like a beginning of a G.I. Joe movie, like in the beginning of it. Like, it almost sound like the metal from like the beginning of the 80s G.I. Joe movie. So I was like, all right, I kind of like, this is the one song in the beginning of the album I actually can stand. Number six was We Love You, because that song is freaking amazing. And I mean, I like how he goes through the different voices and everything. That's right up my alley with symphonic metal, which that's why I like the end of this album, because the end of this album is like a symphonic metal album, basically. So number five was Nobody, because that, I don't know, any song that's like called like Nobody or No One, like I always end up liking them. I don't know why. But number four was Cosmic, because that song was pretty fucking cool, how it was all like a freaking tech. What the hell did I think of? Like, yeah, like the freaking techno noises and parts of it were pretty cool. Number three was Ordinary. And yeah, it's funny you say Daft Punk, because I kind of heard that too. I also kind of heard like the album Korn did with Skrillex a little bit in that. So I like that one. Number two was Death, because that was a really like epic song. Death is, it was a really deep song too, and that shit was had me like sitting there like, this is Avenged Sevenfold, like checking my phone like, this is the right album, right? Like, and then number one was G, because I mean the lyrics were just amazingly so fucking great and hilarious and good. I freaking love it. Freaking loved it. I mean, prayed so hard to know my Lord, like a fucking. On the seventh day, I thought about world peace, but I decided to take it off. Like, that's just, that's so metal. That's so metal. So
yeah, that's awesome. I love that song for sure.
Honestly, the lyrics were almost like a System of Down lyrics, kind of, but more like Surge's solo shit. But yeah,
yeah, less about grabbing a brush and putting on a little makeup.
Well, you got to put on a little makeup in the morning. Make sure you look pretty. But
for sure.
Oh, Chancy Pants. What album did you decide to bring this week? And even though I know why, tell everybody else why.
So technically, my album is not my album to bring. So as many people know, at the end of the show, I often say, this is my real name on Facebook. If you can find me and you can name an album that hasn't been brought on the show before, I shall bring it. This is one of those times. Actually, I became friends with this person as well. I mean, Tom's a cool guy. He might actually be watching at work right now. Tom, what's up? Thanks for the fucking idea. The album is Motionless in White's Scoring the End of the World. Fuck yeah, dude. That's cool as fuck.
CD too. Yep.
Nice. Honestly, I didn't quite know what to expect going into it when I first actually listened to it, but I was beyond pleasantly surprised. Like, I'm a little bit older. I'm a bit more of a cynic. And when it comes to a lot of this new metal stuff out here, it's like, man, what the fuck's going on here? What's going on, kids? We got to really get back into our... We got to get back to the fucking basics. Let's get some fucking fundamentals in this shit. But not the case. Not the case at all with this. I actually could see myself actually deep diving into their other stuff just to see what else they got to bring to the table.
But their other stuff is awesome, too.
Oh, I'll take your word for it, and I'll take a definite look at it as well. Fucking, but, you know, as, you know, part of the audience interaction and as a man of my word, I do my best to try and bring it into the show. And I have done so, and I am fucking quite pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
When he says cynic, folks, it's just another word for asshole. But,
Lucas. I'm sure our audience members are, you know, astute enough to understand what, you know, cynicism is. Or if not, they have access to a fucking thesaurus.
Yes, and they look into the thesaurus, the first word they'll see is asshole. But Lucas, what did you think of Motionless in White's album?
I love this album, to be honest. I first heard this album again last summer, like a few months before I maybe heard the Avenged Sevenfold album. And the thing I mostly knew about Motionless in White is I watch a lot of like real metal, like almost elitist YouTubers that just think anything moderately freaking generic is just cringe. And I'm like, that kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth for Motionless in White. And then the first song I heard was Slaughterhouse, and I'm like, nah, fuck these guys. This album slaps. So I just like from the first listen, I was like, hell yeah, I love this album. It's so sick.
Yeah, And I mean, I was like Chansey when Chansey first tried to bring us on an episode back in the end of January, but that episode didn't end up happening. I listened to this album the first time back then. I never really heard Motion. I knew the name Motionless in White, but I never actually listened to any of their music, just because, you know, I going across new music doesn't really happen to me anymore, which is kind of the reason I started the show, to force me to listen to new music I haven't heard before. And yeah, once again, it works. And I, like Chansey, was pleasantly surprised, because I thought it was going to be like a Panic of the Disco type of experience again, having to listen to Motionless in White. But I was mistaken, thankfully, and I was very impressed. Like, they remind me, I see a lot of other new metal elements from like the early 2000s new metal, mid 2000s new metal stuff as well, that like is thrown in there, and I appreciate the shit out of it. So the elements and everything else I hear that I like, and plus they're, what they're singing about is amazing, and they have a symphonic way of storytelling in their songs, which is freaking awesome. That just right there lined me up. I mean, I listened to this album again yesterday at work, just because I wanted to hear it one more time to talk about it, and I enjoyed the fuck out of the whole album once again. So I even end up adding some more songs to my like list on Spotify that I didn't the first time. So definitely a Tom, whoever you are, definitely a good choice. And I definitely would be, I would listen to more Motionless in White that came up in this show. I can't say I'm gonna go out searching for it, because I just don't search for anything, but it's hard to search when you have all the wisdom, right, Chansey? But
I didn't hear what you said. What did you say? I spaced you out,
asshole. But like I said, but, but I said it's hard to, you know, there's no reason to search things out when you have all the wisdom. So,
oh yeah, I mean, I can relate. I don't know about you. You're still struggling on the fucking short bus, kid.
Now, Chansey, we don't ride the same bus.
I know we don't. That's why I'm waiting at the bus stop for you to get off the short bus, so I can make sure you get home safe.
I said I'm gonna yell "Stranger Danger," I swear to God. But so I mean, yeah, Motionless in White, good pick, Tom. You save Chansey having to do work yet again. But what were your top five off of scoring the end of the world, Chansey?
So I had I actually had two fucking honorable mentions on this. My first one was Cause of Death. Pardon me. Number six was Meltdown. Number five was Masterpiece. Number four was Porcelain. Number three was Slaughterhouse. Two was Scoring the End of the World. And number one for me was fucking Cyberhex, dude. Cyberhex was fucking awesome.
Valid.
When you got the musician being like, fuck yeah, then that makes me feel like I actually fucking did a pretty decent job. Fucking. Also, one more time, Tom. Fucking, you got four thumbs up so far. You're doing a lot of kick ass.
Well, Lucas, what were your top five for Chansey's album?
All right, so it was hard for me because there's so many different elements of these songs that I love. But so I have two honorable mentions. One was Meltdown. Awesome, super cool lyrics and sick breakdown. Masterpiece, again, really cool lyrics. Every canvas I make is a masterpiece of my mistakes. I was just like, fuck yeah, that's an awesome lyric. Yeah, dude. Number five was Werewolf, which is a really unique song. I found it to be a really cool song.
Yeah.
Number four, Broadcasting from Beyond the Grave, Corpse Nation. Super nice. Cool song.
Yeah.
Number three, Burned at Both Ends too. I love how that song is melodic and yet like heavy as hell. Number two, Cyberhex. I don't think there needs much explanation. That song is super badass. So,
it's a banger.
I know. I just like how symphonic it is too. It's so badass, and like in the breakdown, there's literally strings going on at the same time, and yet it works so well.
Right.
And then number one was Slaughterhouse. I just found that song to be so badass, and just the way that it's all pretty much just a knock loose song with a freaking Motionless in White chorus.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys had two honorable mentions. I had five. So
damn, bud, you really dug this album.
Yeah, it got the most honorable mentions out of all the albums by one. So, but my number 10 was BFPTG Corpse Nation, because it's weird, but it's also like Lordi does the same thing with their sporadic circle gatherings, like SCG, like they do like these fake radio broadcasts at the end or beginning of each album they do, and it kind of reminded me of that, and I kind of want to listen to the other albums just to see if they continue. Like, I have a feeling they do those in like every album to some degree, or I feel like they would. Number 9 was Meltdown, because that song was fucking metal shit. Number eight was Cyber Hex, because
Jesus, titty fucking Christ. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. You guys got no taste. I'm working on a fucking support group. For the love of God. Sorry, continue. You're on number 8, and Cyber Hex is fucking where it's at. Jesus.
Yes, because the reason it got the list at all is because it sounded like Korn. I heard Korn. I heard elements of Korn in that shit, so. And my number 7 was Sign of Life, because that song was amazing. And number six was Cause of Death. But my number 5 was Scoring the End of the World, because that song was like a masterpiece, basically. Number 4 was Werewolf, because as a paranormal podcaster, and a lover of everything werewolf, and a band that basically is all about werewolves, I could not like love that song. I mean, I'll even tie Porcelain to that song, because they kind of go into each other. But and Werewolf was just an incredible song. The lyrics, the freaking theme of it all, it was amazing. Number 3 was We Become the Night, which nobody else mentioned that one. Like, I freaking love that song, because the lyrics of it remind me of like Marilyn Manson lyrics, like from back in his earlier stuff. Number 2 was Slaughterhouse, because that was definitely the definition of an awesome metal song. And number 1, which nobody else mentioned this song, and I'm fucking amazed. Number 1 is Red, White, and Boom, which another song that 100% reminded me of Marilyn Manson. I mean, he has a song called We're From America, and it kind of like reminded me of that, but that's off his newer shit, but well, not that new, like a decade ago, but still. So, I mean, yeah, Red, White, and Boom was definitely my favorite song of the whole album. Like, it was just the tempo of it, the guitar in it, everything was freaking incredible in that song. So, and I like the way the singer sings. Like, I like his voice. It's really perfect for what they do. So, I definitely enjoyed the shit out of this album. Tom, I give you a thumbs up, sir. Yeah, I'm just not showing my fucking thumbs because they're busy, but pushing the button for Chansey's demise, as I think it's time. Well, obviously it's time, because there's nowhere else to go but to my album. Because my album, well, I have my reasons for. Harley, we were talking about Motionless and White Scoring the End of the World. It always takes me a fucking minute to think of that name for some reason. Because I literally like was trying to find it the other day, yesterday to listen to it again, and I'm just like, what the fuck was the name of that song? But the CD I wanted to bring this, because when you said you wanted to bring Avenged Sevenfold, I fucking struggled with what to bring. I really did, because I was just like, there are so many bands I could bring for that would match up with the Avenged Sevenfold. There are so many fucking new metal bands I could bring that would match up with Avenged Sevenfold. But I even almost wanted to bring City of Evil just to be like, this is a good Avenged Sevenfold album. By example. But I thought about it for a second. I'm like, you know what? There's an artist I have not brought on this show yet that I've wanted to bring on for a long time, and I fucking love this art. I love this band, because two of the hottest female singers you'll ever fucking see, and their voices are incredible. So, and everybody in the band's incredible. The drummer, the guitarist, they're all fucking incredible at what they do. So I'm like, alright, you know what? If I'm going to bring this artist, I'm going to bring their first album. Let's bring Butcher Baby's Goliath album. We'll be right back. I first heard of Butcher Babies in a Gathering of the Jugglers commercial. That's when I first heard of Butcher Babies, because they were shown performing in it for like 15 seconds. And I was like, all right, I got to check this band. There's a couple bands that in that freaking video I checked out that year, because there was a lot of good metal acts for some reason at a gathering, but okay. And so I'm like, I started listening to Butcher Babies, the first two albums, because I think that was out at the time. And fucking love both of them. I almost wanted to bring the second one, but I'm like, nah, I got to start with Goliath and we can move on. But, and I mean, the cover art for Goliath alone sold me on before I even listened to it, because it was just like, that's dark. That's fucking dark. I have to listen to this CD now. Because for those who don't know and aren't looking at it, the cover art for Goliath is literally a boy standing with a knife, like, over his parents' sleeping bed. So, it's kind of, like, dark.
Only kind of.
But, I mean, it's... Well, I mean, the next album's called Take It Like a Man, and it's a little girl in a dress standing there over bodies. So, I mean, they have a theme. But, so, I wanted to bring this album because I freaking love everything about this band. I'm like, you know what? They tie into Avenged Sevenfold really well, and they actually... I knew Motionless and White would be on this one, too, so I knew it would tie into that a little bit as well. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. It's Butcher Baby time. And not the way that some of my other rap artists sing about Butcher Babies and all that. But, Lucas, I'm dying to hear. What do you think of Butcher Babies? Because you didn't say anything about that one. You messaged me back about his album. But I didn't say whose album was whose. But you messaged me back about Chancey's album. And I was kind of like, let it rest. Because I'm like, I'll see what he says in the show about Butcher Babies.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I never really knew. I didn't know anything about Butcher Babies until you sent it over to me. And I thought it was actually a really good album. And what I noticed is it sounded like a lot like Lamb of God, just more like a lot like more clean singing, but it sounds like a lot of like Lamb of God influence, and really cool like thrash death groove metal. I really like the guitar work in this album, especially. It's a really cool album.
Hey. And if you haven't had a chance, I suggest either watching some concert footage from them or watching one of their videos, because you got to see these two female singers, dude. Like, oh my God. Among the metal world, they are considered two of the hottest females out there in the metal world. But,
yeah.
Chancey Pants. I was kind of curious to hear what you'd have to say about Butcher Babies, too, because we never talked about them, so I didn't know if you actually knew they existed.
I mean, I knew they existed, but I never actually, like, sat down and listened to a whole album. Honestly, I don't even have the time or the inclination to fuck around with it. But like, I enjoyed the album. It was good. Fucking, I was gonna give you shit about it, make up some kind of cockamamie. Oh, it was fucking trash, fucking yada yada yada. But it really isn't, dude. It's fucking awesome. It's like, and I like how he said it reminded him of Lamb of God. To me, it kind of reminded me of like a combination of I Wrestled a Bear Once and Lamb of God. Like, if the singer from I Wrestled a Bear Once fucking did, like, a song with Randy Blythe and Lamb of God, that's kind of what that album reminded me of. And I dug it, man. Like, I've always been a huge metal fan, so, like, it's just like, fuck yeah, dude. This is fucking, finally, Jeremy, finally, you bring something worth value to the episode. Welcome to the fucking big kids table, bud. God damn.
Listen, Mr. I brought fucking bass nectar, but
dude, bass nectar's the shit. I don't give a fuck what you think. Fucking the Offspring's the only thing that I will ever admit that I fucking made a fucking error in judgment on. That most recent album of theirs. That's the only thing that I'll accept fucking any kind of okay I fucked up on, all right? Bass Nectar's got its own fucking kick-ass way about it. You just have no taste. Someday. Maybe someday. You win all the cool kids that let you go out to the parties after dark fucking when the streetlights aren't on.
Dude, fucking Bass Nectar is trash. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but... And it's funny you say Lamb of Gods, because, I mean, Lamb of God, I could see that. I definitely could see that. It kind of reminded me of a little bit of Killswitch Engage, like meets In Flames, but a little bit. But
real heavy Ghostwick.
Well,
yeah, not when you're comparing like Lamb of God, dude. Killswitch compared to Lamb of God, especially with all of those melodics that fucking Howard Jones throws out, like you were kind of like, I understood what you meant when you said it the way you said it because of my reference to fucking Iwabo and Lamb of God, but definitely not Killswitch. I mean, they have the heavy element. But they're not like fucking literally the embodiment of grinding someone's face along fucking sandpaper heavy metal style.
Well, I mean, the melodic, they both have melodic tones to them. That's why I think that's why the Killswitch thing comes in, because I mean, the females in this band do the same thing where they'll scream for 1 second and then they actually bring in the like melodic singing for a few minutes. But it's, which I like the combination. I like the combination of it. It's a good combo for them. Because I can't fucking do like the screaming, illegible shit that I can't even fucking like
understand. He can't listen to good metal. End asterisk.
I'd like to know what's being said, Chansey. Or otherwise I could be worshipping like Hitler or something when listening to that music. You gotta know what they're saying. That's what parents are worried about in the 90s. God damn it. But
they were worried about Satan, dude. Get your shit straight. They didn't give a fuck about it. They were like, oh no, the satanic panic. All this heavy metal stuff's making Tipper Gore's fucking giny tingle.
PMRC.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, D. Snyder's, I will say this till the day I die, dude. D. Snyder's fucking speech at that fucking PMRC meeting is something that every single fucking person who takes any kind of public speaking fucking class should fucking watch at least once in their life.
The way he just pulls up in like a full like rocker like clothes, like his hair is all like crazy. That was awesome.
And then just proceeds to fist fuck them, metaphorically, verbally fist fuck them into submission. Even Al Gore, he's up there talking to a fucking senator being like, yo, bro, your wife's a fucking skanky perv. Why don't you fucking dick her down right? And I'm like, what?
I mean, it's funny you say that, because in public speaking class, in public speaking class in college, I did do Marilyn Manson's speech after Columbine.
That's still second tier. That is absolute second tier. Where did he give that speech at? Where did he give that speech at after Columbine?
I'm pretty sure on the news.
On the news. So it wasn't like in front of a board with senators and
He might have. I never even knew he did till fucking college. So that was like a decade after it happened. But I mean, he might have.
If it was 10 years after it happened, then it was definitely not in like front of a fucking any kind of a committee.
No. I was in college 10 years after it happened. Columbine was when I was in fucking high school or middle school or something shit like that. I don't even know what the fuck.
It was in the 90s, man. Fucking are you sure you weren't like just getting off the bus in elementary school?
Probably. Yeah, I think it was like 96, 97, wasn't it? But
98,
99. Yeah, okay, so middle school. It could have been elementary school or middle school then. But yeah, so it was right in that time era. It was right in that era. Shut the fuck up, Jesse. But so for this album, I only brought 4 album mentions. Like I said, Motionless and White got the most album mentions from me today. But my number 9 was Give Me Reason, and I fucking fought with these a lot, because I listened to this album like 4 times over like 2 days, because I forgot how good it was. I haven't heard this album at whole in a long fucking time. But number 9 was Give Me Reason. Number 8 was C-A-H-18, Gasoline, because that song is fucking fire. No pun intended, but that song is fire. And number 7 was I Smell a Massacre, which, I mean, just the way that song, just the way the album opens with, like, I Smell a Massacre is just fucking incredible. There's no intro, there's no slow fucking, like, fucking track going in, it's just, bam, heavy! Number 6 was Grim Sleeper, because the fucking lyrics in that song are freaking incredible. And, I mean, I like the name Grim Sleeper, that's just metal shit. Number five was Dead Poet, because I'm pretty sure they were talking about Sylvia Plath in that, and she is one of my favorite poets, so I think they were talking about her. Maybe they threw a couple other references to other poets in there as well, but I think in the beginning it was definitely about her. Number four was In Denial, because, I mean, the Malog singing in that one's freaking incredible. It reminded, honestly, that their Malog singing in that song reminded me of Evanescence a little bit. I could hear it at least. Number three was The Death Surround, because that shit reminds me of like a Megadeth track almost, like The Death Surround. And number two was The Mirror Never Lies, because that, I mean, the lyrics in that song are freaking incredible, and it's kind of like an attack on pretty people, which I like. And number one was Axe Wound, because that, everything about that song was amazing. The freaking guitar in that song was unbelievable. The lyrics and the singing in that song was freaking great. So, but they don't mention Axe Wound once in the fucking lyrics, which I'm like, what? Like, you're going to call a song that, but not put any reference to someone getting chopped with an axe in it. Like, Jesus Christ. Take some lessons from hardcore people. And you're at the Gathering of the Juggalos performing this shit, so. Well, I'm pretty sure Dave's wanted them there because the Sabres are hot, but, you know, it is what it is. But what were your top five there, Lucas?
So I have two honorable mentions as well. Number one of the honorable mentions was I Smell a Massacre, which is pretty much just kind of the sound that this album has. It's heavy, fast. I like it a lot. Same with Dead Poet. That's the other one. They both are pretty much just like that thrash groove metal sound that this album really has. Number five would be The Death Surround, which is a really sick song. I found it to be really cool. Number four, Axe Wound. I thought this was a really sick song too. I thought it was probably one of my favorites of like real heavy, it's probably the heaviest that I found it to be. Number three was the title track, Goliath. I thought this was a really sick sound and had like the most of like the Lamb of God riffage. Number two, CHH18, Gasoline. I thought this one was also really Lamb of God-y, and I thought it was super cool. And number one was In Denial. I thought it was really cool how it had it was heavy, but it also almost had like a 2000, like mid 2000s metalcore sound, like Killswitch.
Evanescence, thank you.
Yeah, Evanescence, As They Lay Dying, kind of vibe I got from that. It was really cool. I like that song.
Chancy Pants, I'm dying to hear yours.
So I had an honorable mention. It was Dead Poet.
Yeah.
Number five for me was Axe Wound. Number four was Give Me a Reason. Number three was The Grim Sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was The Death Surround. And number one for me was I Smell a Massacre. Fucking, I felt that with it being the opener of the entire album, fucking, I agree, Gas is solid, fucking Axe Wound, fucking super solid, heavy as fuck, but like, just that opening to it, just like, you get, just like opening the door to walk through and you get punched right in the fucking nose. I dug the shit out of it.
Oh, well, I'm glad I finally brought something you could have, well, actually, no, it's not the first time, but I'm glad.
It's not the first time, but it's fucking been a dry spell, dude. I feel like I've been walking through the Sahara looking for an oasis.
I can only do it based on the people's fucking selections they bring to the show, dude. I can't just
You can bring whatever the fuck you want, man. Shit.
I mean, technically, but I like to try at least match it up, because I don't want to bring, like, I didn't want to bring a rap album for Lucas, because it'd be like, he'd probably be like, what the fuck is this? obviously. I would have fucked up the whole show if I brought a rap album, and that is why I didn't do it, but
if it would have been good enough, it wouldn't necessarily have fucked it up.
If he doesn't like rap at all, really, then yeah, it kind of would. I mean, unless you're not going to convert a metalhead into rap music unless they already kind of like it. Like, you're not going to convert them just fresh off the boat with, like, especially an album I would pick.
I absolutely disagree with that statement, because how are you ever supposed to know if you're going to convert anybody to any type of anything unless you expose them to something that they may or may not have either heard,
I mean,
or had the opportunity to go out and look for?
I mean, you'd have to bring some like Public Enemy anthrax shit, or like some kind of correlation between like metal and, or like some Run DMC Aerosmith type correlation to get like them to bridge over, I think. But in my opinion. Though, actually, that's not a bad idea sometimes. It's the fucking CD that Public Enemy and Anthrax are on together. But bring the noise, baby. But we are finished with the albums 3 this week, folks. And what are 3 albums they wore? No one had any complaints, really, which is rare for this show. So, fuck. Usually, Chancey has something to complain about. But we want to thank Lucas for coming on, because we're glad to give him some exposure and his band some exposure, and we're glad to have him on, and we look forward to having your co-rocker, I believe, Philip, if I'm not mistaken, next week.
No, Julian.
Julian. Where the hell did I hear Philip? I don't know. But we're excited to have him on next week as well. Yeah, get me a way to contact him so I can do the whole album thing with him too. But
yeah, I'll let you know.
Let me know a way to contact him. But other than that, folks, your musers will be back tonight. Yes, you get to see our pretty faces twice in one night. How lucky are you? Jesus. And we'll be doing the part 6 of the Rolling Stone Top 500 bracket tonight. And it's going to be a shit show. The chaos continues yet again. And, of course, then we'll be back Tuesday for our regular scheduled episode, as always. And we'll be back on next Saturday for another episode, weekend edition, with the other half of Philouette. Oh, that's where I got Philip from. Your last name. Shit. But, shut up, Jesse. But where can they find your band? Where can they find you? Promote yourself, man.
You guys can find our band any streaming service on Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, Twitter, X, TikTok, yeah, pretty much everywhere you'll probably find us.
All right, and go check them out, folks. And if you're listening on Spotify land, the song that opened up the episode will be one of their songs of my choosing after I give them a little bit more of a deep dive than I already did. So I'll have 2 episodes to do that with. So I'll find 2 I like. But Chancey, where can they find you besides haunting their wildest dreams?
Well, fucking, as stated previously in the show, this is my real first name. Fucking, if you can find me on Facebook and you bring me an album that hasn't been on the show before, fucking A, we'll do it. Instagram, TikTok, fucking the Red Eye Roundtable, X, Red Eye Table, and of course, here.
Well, there you go. And folks, you know you can find both your musers on Facebook as the Uncensored, Unapologetic, and Untamed Podcast Collective, U-Cubed. You can also find us on X and the Gram as at Juggalo Bastard, where we usually are streaming live on X and working on the Instagram thing. Freaking Instagram sucks. But you could also find us on TikTok as at Juggalo Bastard Podcast to see funny clips of our brackets and some full episodes. I gotta get back on that eventually. And you can also find us on YouTube as Maniacal Music Musings to see all our past episodes. And, of course, streaming live on Parapost Network is always on Facebook. Great home for all podcasts and vodcasts. And until next time, until later tonight, I guess, your musers are out. We'll be right back.
gun in my hand. With guns blazing, I'm ready to pull it off. This rail is mine. Do not enter. There's no trespassing sign.
Do you want to be to live in these conditions? I can't. Everything that you expect. How do you expect me to love in these conditions? I can't be everything. I suck a dick today. Every single time I try to leave, the door's locked and I don't have a key. Yeah.